brothers and sisters, I hate to stop peace, but there is scripture and it has peace and good news in it too. Two scriptures, because the group that's working on stewardship came up with a theme, preach on Genesis. I couldn't quite do it. So then I did the Matthew passage, and then I did your theme because I liked it. So we got some good news. Here now is Matthew 19, verses 18 through 26. Then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." And then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your mother and father also, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to Jesus, "I have kept all these. What do I lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And when the young man heard this, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. And then Jesus took a time to teach his disciples, and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded, and they said, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." And then from the book of Ephesians, chapter 15, 18 through 21, which is where the theme of the stewardship sermon is coming from this whole season. "I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with a power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. And I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ which surpasses understanding and knowledge, so that you will be filled with the fullness of God. And now by him who has the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us." I remember somewhere I read an article in the New York Times where they kind of do follow-up on people. Where are you in 10 years? They did a follow-up with a man who won an enormous amount of money in one of the jackpot lotteries, the biggest at the time. And they wanted to see who he was. And in the interview, the first line from him is, "Everything changed." And I think, yeah, it did. You had all the money. Life was great. But he said, "Everything changed and everything fell apart. Money became more important than anything else. My wife and I divorced. I had problems with relatives and family who wanted more money. I got some terrible habits. I gambled away the majority of my money, and it's gone. So I have no money. I have a car I can barely afford to pay the insurance on. But at least now I have my job back again." The guy was a cab driver. And he said, "My brother did make me put some away for retirement, so at 65, I'm going to be okay." And I think that kind of surprised people, because when he said, "Everything's changed," they wanted to hear, "Yes, everything for the better." But what that man figured out is there are such issues with money. Does money equal happiness? We know you need money to live. I mean, that's a given. Is money our worth? Money and life, these are big questions now, and they were in the time of Jesus' day too. I mean, here we have a story which we call what? The rich young ruler? The word rich is not in the story, but you can tell it gets us so bothered. That's how it's listed in your Bible. What it says here is someone, he's not even named, someone came to Jesus and asked him this question, "Teacher, what is the good deed I must do to have eternal life?" What is the good deed I must do? I mean, it's a sincere question. This person is wrestling with how will he have a life with God forever? And obviously, this man has been trying to do that. And Jesus says to him first, "Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good." Do you know what he's saying here? He's saying, God is good. He's the only good one. Why are you asking me? He's also saying, you really kind of know. If you wish to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you keep the commandments. He knew what they are. How many are there of them? You guys know this. 10. Good, see? Well, Jesus says, you know, he's saying, you keep the commandments, but the man won't let it go. Which ones? Brad Peterson, our administrator on my, he wrote down the scripture and he wrote, Jesus rolls his eyes. Really, Brad? He probably did. Okay, which one? Jesus says, really? Rolls his eyes, and Jesus said, okay, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you should honor your mother and your father. And then he just throws in something else that isn't a commandment here. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man hears all that and says sincerely, I've done all those things. What do I still lack? And I want to give this man some credit. He can sincerely say, I've kept these commandments. Now, some of them I've kept. Some of them gets a little gray. Honor your mother and father. If you knew me when I was an adolescent, you would say, no. And the truth is, many of us lie in ways that we don't even know we're doing it. We lie to ourselves, we lie to others. I want to talk about the big ones because I know there are people in this room that probably have done all those things. But this young man says, I've done all of them, and I know that still I do not trust that my life with God eternal is for sure. He's still uneasy. And I'm really caught by what an exceptional man he is. But here's the thing. This story is also told in Mark, and Mark has a line in here I love. It didn't get in this translation. Jesus looked at the man and loved him. He loved him. I think he loved this man who was seeking an answer. I think he loved him because he knew he was never going to get there on his own. I think he also loved him because he wouldn't let Jesus alone until he figured out the answer to give himself peace. And so he looks at him with love and he asks again, I have kept all these things, what do I lack? It's not enough. And Jesus says to him, if you wish to be perfect, did the man ever ask to be perfect? No. Do you know who Jesus knows is the only perfect one? God. He's saying, really? If you wish to be God, let me throw it all out at you, buddy. And when he says, oh, if you wish to be perfect, if you wish to be like God, go and sell your possessions, give your money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. I bet that man wished he really hadn't asked that one. Go and give everything up, sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the scripture tells us that that man went away grieving because he had many possessions. That's the hint we get to rich. It doesn't say rich. The man went away grieving. I can feel it. He has figured out that he really can't do anything to ensure his relationship with God completely. I think he grieves also because really, can he give up his money? Can he let it all go? I suspect his money to him wasn't the same anymore. I bet it felt like it had some heaviness on it. Didn't quite have the pleasure. The power it brought didn't impress him quite so much. I wonder if he grieved because he knew he didn't have enough. Enough power to give it all away. But here's my fantasy. It doesn't say he didn't. Maybe he learned to loosen up a little bit of it and he was able to help the church and help others. We don't know. Maybe he was transformed just enough that he could start following Jesus. We don't know. It could have happened. But what we do know is he was loved by God and loved by Jesus. And he goes away. And his disciples are in shock because they have just heard money ain't gonna make it. And Jesus says how hard it will be for those who have the wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get in heaven. Really? Eye of needle? Camel? People say, scholars, well, there was a gate in Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, and it was a gate that people walked through. People door camel, same thing. It's going to be that hard. He's trying to get their attention. Really? Because the disciples believe in that day, I'm sure it's not true for us, that if you have a lot of wealth, it means you have God's pleasure on your side. It means you're kind of special. And Jesus is saying, that ain't true. Your wealth does not equal my favor. Made the disciples up because they say, oh no, who can be saved? They're figuring out they're in trouble. And Jesus says to them, for mortals it's impossible. For God, for me, everything is possible. Do you know there's a song out there? I'm not going to sing it because I'm going to spare you. It goes, come on, camel, squeeze on through. Come on, camel, squeeze on through. Come on, camel, squeeze on through. Squeeze on through, because there's a rich man praying for you. There's a little bit. We're just hoping you can make it, because we really do want to take all our gifts. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. That's not possible for you. But with God, it's possible. With God's grace, with God's love, you will have eternal life. With God's love, that God of creation, the God that created everything, created you, and you have a possibility because God is on your side. You can't earn it. You're really not worth it. But God chooses us anyway. And I do know that lives are transformed. There is the story, which is a true story, about Stephen King. You know that horror writer that writes all those scarier-than-anything books? Well, he has been one of the richest men in America. And you may remember that in 1991, he was hit on the side of the road when he was walking. A van hit him and just drove on. And he laid on the side of the road in a ditch for hours. And he was very close to death. And he was hospitalized for weeks, and years afterwards, he is still in pain. And he walked slowly to a lecture at Vassar College, a graduation ceremony, in 2001. And this is what he said in that speech. A couple of years ago, I found out that you can't take it with you, and I found out what it means. I found out why I was lying in a ditch at the side of a country road covered in mud and blood. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but if you're lying in the ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts your MasterCard. In the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life. We come in naked and broken to the world, and we could leave the same way. Warren Buffett, going for broke. You know, he's given away his money. Bill Gates going for broke, Tom Hanks going for broke, Stephen King broke, and not crying a dime about it. Should you give away all that you have? Of course you should. I want you to consider making your lives one long gift to others, and one why not. No words of a speech are a better statement than this. I want you to consider making your lives one long gift for others. Now there's a transformation. I think that's really what the theme of this season is, generous, fearless generosity. A long gift to others, your life. See, people are transformed. It does happen. And we get a next month to really think about what it means to fearlessly live in this world and to be generous. Now, when you came up with this theme, that one liner you see on the green, I said, oh, great. Okay, John, did you realize the word fear and generosity is not in that scripture? And yet you picked it. So I went a little further in the scripture, and I went back, and I thought, oh, this scripture from Ephesians, it's a prayer by Paul to his congregation. He's given them a big, long talk about how to be good. And now he gives the ending prayer. He says to them, I want the power of God, the Christ, to dwell in your hearts, that you will be rooted and grounded in love. That's what I want for you, rooted and grounded in love. That means transformation. That means growth can happen, growth in generosity. Rooted and grounded means you're also going to be blown around a little bit. I want you to be strong in God so you can weather what is put before you. And then he says, I want you to know the love of God that is so big, it's bigger than anything you can imagine. The breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses understanding. Do you love it? It's so big you can't understand it and you won't really know it, so just give out. Give up. It is there. Paul is describing this love that is bigger than anyone can imagine, that comes from all directions and go out in all directions. When you know that love, or at least just feel a tiny bit of it, then you can do amazing things. Then you can accomplish more in generosity and abundance than you ever could. Then you're able to let go a little bit of your money. You don't have to be almost killed on the side of the road to get this message. You can actually learn it in church. It's a lot less painful. Maybe your life is to be a long gift of giving, to be generous for others, that you look forward thinking. This church knows about that. When this church was, what happened in 1906 to this church? Yeah, it was bombed. They took dynamite, they bombed it to be a firebreak. Oh, that's lovely. Well, the church had really good insurance. They had insurance for $22,000. Great. Well, the whole world was in a fear. Guess how much they got for the building? 13. Great. So now you have half of what it's your insurance had. And they had some argument about where to build it. I know you're shocked. Presbyterians arguing, would they have it here? Would they have it at Washington Street? And they finally decided, and the cost of the building and the Oregon and all that would be close to about $100,000. How much did they have? 13. So what did they do? They came up with money. They asked people around the nation to help, and they actually built the church, and they were not in debt. That was their gift for us, forward thinking. They didn't leave generations like us in debt. They built a building that actually had steel frame on it. Oh my gosh, I'm thrilled, because you know what happened at the last earthquake? We were okay, because people in 1911 thought forward thinking. Well, they also put in electricity in 1911. And yesterday I came to the church and there was no refrigerator and no freezer working. Something happened to the 100-year-old electricity. And you know, I'm a really good electrician. It's not true. I called two people and then Chris Burt, and we've got one of them going with an extension cord because the building's 100 years old. So we're going to have to do work and help ensure some of that building for the next 100 years. So little baby James back there doesn't have to worry about electricity, and his refrigerator will work when he's 18 and needs a snack. See, we're looking forward to these people. We let go so God's future happens in this church and happens outside. So we're learning to be fearless givers. You know what? You have to give more this year. You just have to. For your discipline to God, for what needs to be done in the world. And it's going to be hard, but we're doing it because God has loved us, and God's going to help us let go. So that love that is bigger than our imaginations, bigger than anything we can ever imagine, that love is for us. And we are entrusted to share that love of God here, now, and in the future. So if God rolls God's eyes at us, God does it with love. And God uses us and loves us. And tell you the truth, ain't that amazing? Thanks be to God. Amen.